Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen over here in Studio A. Over in Studio B, and his entourage is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, good morning. How are you?
Good morning on a Saturday morning, cold Saturday morning here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul in the beautiful state of Minnesota. I feel like one of those good old Scandinavians, if you will. Don, looks like we've got a lot this morning. If you will, hope that you and your family and loved ones had a beautiful Christmas. We're now moving towards New Year's, the last day of the year, 2018, which has been a volatile year in many respects. Don, we've got a lot of law enforcement, a lot of police stuff for this morning's program, if you will, hopefully, because we have so many supporters of the police in our communities, if you will. You know, maybe some of them will update us. Because we still don't have a inspector of the 4th Precinct, that very volatile
precinct. There
in North Minneapolis on Plymouth Avenue. We don't have anybody, and we have to talk about that a tad, what's going on. There were a couple of individuals' names who surfaced that the advisory committee or whatever indicated that they weren't favorable candidates, if you will. We also have information on Nord, Mohammed Nord, a story early this morning in our beloved city on a reenactment, Donald, on the death of the Australian woman shot and killed over a year and a half ago. And then we have a real big story that they're really suppressing, and that is on Lieutenant Pat King. Of the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department, part of that new administration that's rolling in, if you will. And King was a part of the group of white officers, some of whom, by the way, this is ironic, Mr. Allen, were part of the group of officers that were at the scene of the Mohammed Nord the shooting, if you will, and they have a lot of information to begin this now. Remember, we talked about this, the Australian government, about how these small group of Somali officers here in Minneapolis were terrorists, if you will, and come into the country as terrorists and things like that. Remember when we had quite a discussion last year? About that, we never could quite get the individuals who always are telling us how much they know about what happened. You know what I'm saying, Don?
Yes, oh yeah.
They're in the meetings and et cetera. By the way, Attorney General-elect, and this is a law and order issue, had a fireside chat. Did we get any feedback on that at the Urban League of Minneapolis? A couple of days ago, did you see
nothing.
Posting?
Not a picture, not a picture, not a peep. And that's highly unusual.
Well, I'm not understanding that. The incoming Attorney General of the state of Minnesota has a fireside chat. They're there to talk in terms of, you know, violence and safety. And everybody keeps talking about gun control. To a lesser degree, they talk about the drugs. I wonder why that is.
Kind of unusual, Mr. Edwards. I don't really understand, you know, that position, you know. But no, there, like, to answer your question in completion, there wasn't. I'm on social media quite a bit. I didn't see any of that. You know, I was hoping for an update from one of our community activists, and nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm scanning social media right now to see for sure, because I know one page, one person that might have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Well, here, That man, I've been, and I see you over there in your computer people, IT people. By the way, our phone number, 347-426-3904. Again, 347-426-3904. This is the Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And go ahead. We got a call already?
Oh, no, we don't got a call. I just want to let people know that we've been broadcasting now going into the new year for 10 years. We'll be going into our 11th year in 2019. And
Blessed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And supplying news and information that you can't get anywhere. And, you know, Mr. Edwards, back when we first started, Blog Talk Radio had this little kind of profit-sharing thing, and I went back and looked at it. And,
yes.
You know, they charge us about $40 a month to have this platform, the studio, and, you know, all these high-tech gadgets to go with it. And, and so I said, I'm going to participate in the, just quickly here, in the profit-sharing thing. So in the last 10 years, I looked. We made $20. $20.
So much for white capitalism. So much for white capitalism.
Yeah,
they
give you.
Well,
they give
we could have been like
a slave.
That is precious, Donald.
And,
that is very interesting.
And I'm telling folks that because you know on social media, folks are posting stuff like Mr. You and Mr. Edwards get paid to disrupt the community, and I'm saying getting paid by who? Ain't nobody wrote me a check for nothing. I know they ain't wrote you a check.
Yeah, I've not received one red penny. But I'm not involved because of that. I'm waiting on the big check from CBS, NBC, KFAN station here. I mean, that's all a part of the propaganda. But you know, I think that's good to put that out there because we got a couple of people that have called in for a lot that have tried to imply. A level of corruption. In fact, we haven't heard anything after being accused 2 weeks ago of disrupting a meeting at a church in North Minneapolis. I will just go and give the name now. It's Zion Baptist Church over there that we tried to disrupt a meeting which was being called to deal with the control and supervision of the 4th Precinct of the Minneapolis Police Department, et cetera. And yet we haven't heard anything. You know, maybe we can get an update. I like what you just said a little while ago. Maybe we get an update from some of the primetime players. You know, I've got one of the primetime players, and I'm still waiting for them to get back to us. We raised the question to them. They promised that they would raise the question in that same meeting, that meeting that took place that Saturday afternoon here at Zion Baptist Church, if you will, having to do with, and no one said anything about this, Don, and this is a public safety law enforcement issue, the city councilman, the son of the incoming attorney general, Jeremiah Ellison, was blocked. I mean, I know they'll try to change the narrative now, but he was blocked from coming into the precinct station along with a delegation let's give the names now, led by the Reverend Harding Smith, if you will, some other people, high-powered players. Matthew Ramadan, who has returned to the city, was one of the control facilitators and et cetera. And they got over there, and the white precinct commander, who also happens to be the assistant chief of police, Jose is his name, told them, keep the doors locked, keep the Negroes out there in the cold. And they was all on TV crying and talking in terms of how they had been treated. We haven't heard any more about that, Donald. You know, whatever happened, was there an apology given to the city councilman, you know, about embarrassing him, denying him his right of access based on his authority as a city council member, if you will, of that ward? That's the 4th Precinct, for those that don't know how to GPS, if you will. It is in the ward, the 4th ward, the 5th ward. I'm sorry, the 4th ward is Little Cunningham. But he's also in that big portion of North Minneapolis. And I haven't heard anything about it. I would have thought that our activists and the Central would have been raising holy hell demanding an apology and an explanation. Nothing. Nothing.
No.
So we've got a lot of these stories. Yes.
Yes. Hey, Mr. Edwards, it looks like we have a call here.
Let's pick it up on a cold Saturday morning. Go right ahead. Go ahead. Bring them on in, Tom.
Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead. 4616? Yes, you're live. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to listen.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll put you back in the
queue.
Thank
you
for listening.
All right, all right.
Yes,
hopefully we'll generate something that someone will ask a serious question, because this law enforcement, public safety, 4th Precinct, who's going to command? I mean, that's, you know, when it's time, you know, you see the folks out there and they talk. And you know, our community, it needs to know who's going to be in control. As I said at the top of the program, you know, trying to open the door, that we hear some names, if you will. Now, I hear the people that the big hitters don't like, if you will. One was Lieutenant John Delmonico, you know what I mean? The other one is Commander Charles Adams. Delmonico is a Caucasian. Well-respected and et cetera, but he was kind of knocked out of the top tier about a year ago. And, of course, Commander Charles Adams II is a born and raised in North Minneapolis, right there in the old tunnel, the old public housing, if you will. Boy, don't we need public housing now.
Oh, in a big way.
Got people staying in warehouses and et cetera. It's kind of like in Bosnia, somewhere in Herzegovina, you know, I mean, wow. But, hey, these are things that we are here to talk about in the mornings. But remember we had a couple calls a couple weeks ago, people talking about the homeless camps and et cetera and what was going to happen. And I hope that all the people got into the temporary housing, if you will. But again, I repeat, boy, if we really had a public housing program here in Indianapolis, man, a lot of those people, particularly with children and et cetera, would have been able to have safety. That's key, isn't it, Don? And comfort, if you will, warmth.
Yes,
now, you've
exactly.
got to know, if you're still in a tent this morning here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul, temperature dropped down there around 2 below 0, early this morning, you know what I'm saying? And it was snowing, snow out there. And that ice is terrible, man. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
The freeways.
I cleared through a couple of stop signs last night. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've got to be real, real careful. Yeah, you know, I was out and it was on the freeway, but freeways are nice. But then that's to help the people that pay the big taxes to make sure they get back and forth to their lovely home. In the Chanhassen or, you know, Minnetonka, you know, Maplewood, Maple Grove. And by the way, I just want to send a shout out to our old buddy. We haven't heard much from him. Louis King, Major Louis King, United States Army.
Yeah.
You know, we have heard much about Louis, but man, Louis is doing well. You know, he's going to make a lot of money again tomorrow when they play the big Chicago Bears at the People's Stadium. Isn't that a nice reference that big facility down there built at a cost of $1.6 billion? They keep trying to say one, but it's $1.6 million. Man, you know, Dr. King, he has done a heck of a job of making money down there, man. He got his, you know, wings and et cetera. I think, you know, they have a reasonable price for it. Chicken wings cost here in Minneapolis about $16 for a plate of five. But anyways, Don, those phone lines are open, man. You know, 347-426, 3904. Yes, sir. 347-426-3904. This is the Don and Ryan program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Mr. Edwards, I need to throw something in there. You know, this is the holiday season. It is the time of giving, and on GoFundMe there's a campaign with a goal of $2,000 for Brother Mel Reeves. It says help a brother out. And if you go to
I hear the name right. You said for who now? Who you
for
said
Mel Mama? Reeves. Mel Reeves.
Oh, Mel Reeves. The organizer and columnist
the organizer,
for the same paper that I write with. Oh, well, wait a minute. They're asking, is he sick or what? Is he ill? Was he
Says here as – well, let me just read. It's a short paragraph. It says,
as you may know, our brother
– our brother Mel Reeves has suffered the loss of his dear sister. This comes after time. This comes at a time when things are tight and traveling during the holiday season is quite expensive. Mel is a longtime community activist and servant who goes beyond to help to fight for others in need. Mel now needs your help to cover travel expenses to his sister's funeral this weekend and other related costs. Come together, do what we can to help our brother this time of need. Whatever amount you can contribute is deeply appreciated. Thank you so much. And so he's looking at for $2,000. He raised $1,688 to go to his sister's funeral and go to GoFundMe. And you can search "Help a Brother Out," Mel Reed, and it will pop right up. So,
and who posted that on his behalf? I mean,
I have no idea.
Black Lives Matter, wasn't he a prime mover of Black Lives Matter back in 2015?
Oh, it might have been. It doesn't say. No one's taking credit. For posting it, other than, you know, it's there and it's trending. And I mean, he has quite a few donations, and that's great. So, I mean, on this show, I mean, we know Mel Reeves, and so we encourage people to go to GoFundMe and donate to his mighty cause.
Certainly. If the brother, he has $1,688 right now. He's only $319 away from his goal of $2,000. Did they say where the funeral is, where he has to travel to?
No, it does not say that.
Oh.
It does not say that, Mr. Edwards. It does not say that. I mean, geography would have been nice, but no, it does not say that at all.
Because there are some movers and shakers out there that have access to Delta Airlines. You know, used to be Northwest Airlines when it was headquartered here in Eagan, Minnesota. Northwest Airlines made a lot of money off the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota, who thought that they were saving Northwest before Northwest was merged and sold to Big Delta, if you will. But hey, Don, I think that was a respectful thing that you did to let folks know that Mel Reeves, he's still a columnist for the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Longtime activist. Yeah, he's right. In fact, the last time I saw Mel was at a football game. This would have been in late October of North High School. You remember North High School, the school there on the north side. He was going into the game, if you will. Yes, last time I saw Mel. I kind of wondered what had happened. I hadn't seen any count. But, hey, I think that's magnanimous of you, my brother, to put that out there, to call attention to the fact that he's a couple hundred short, you know, help him get to wherever he has to go. $2,000 for travel? Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that's out there, man. And so I hope that they do that. By the way, Don, you had indicated that you had been researching and looking at the most recent death of a law enforcement officer, a young man, last name Singh, a Polynesian, if you will, shot and killed by transgressor, one of those Latino Mexicans who came across the border. In fact, they caught him trying to get back across the border, but he didn't make it. They rounded him up. Shot and killed a young, as I said, police officer there in California. And quite an emotional scene. His brother, his younger brother, thanking the community out there in that California, small California town. But we're glad that the perpetrator looked like a gangbanger too, man. You know, he looked like a pretty dangerous guy. President Donald Trump has really taken that and run with it here in the last number of hours as we move into Saturday, indicating that this is the reason for the wall. I mean, I know how you guys on the right are about the wall. You know that this is the reason for the wall. The death of a young person. In fact, some of Trump's handlers and people have said that we in the communities of color should be right in the forefront of expressing rage, and that this guy should be death penalty. They'd come in and invoke the death penalty, or, you know, and prosecute him and execute him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So
yep.
Interesting to see what some of the thinking is there. We have additional problems here. Like I said, the Mohammed Noor thing was on the news early this morning, Donald.
Yeah.
They're doing a reenactment of the tragic scene out there in southwest Minneapolis where Justine Dorman lost her life on shots fired by Officer Noor. So we've got that back in play. They want to do a reenactment, whatever that means. And then you've got this situation where you've got this sheriff's deputy, lieutenant, coming in as the head of the criminal convention. His name is Patrick, or Pat King, as they call him. In fact, I'll tell you how far back this guy goes. Boy, he's been a thorn in the side of black police officers. He talked about him. I was at his trial when they sued the city of Minneapolis way back in, 2010. He talked about black police officers like they had a tail. He was suing the city of Minneapolis, the then chief, Dene Harto, if you will, and et cetera. Funny story about that, and you know, we feel sleeping and et cetera, is that the Minneapolis Star Tribune, right, the supreme newspaper here in our beloved state of Minnesota, actually had a reporter covering the trial, but there was a specific day on day three of the trial. The reporter didn't show up. No one showed up from the Star Tribune, and there was a deputy chief. I mean, our responsibility here on the Ron and Don program is to provide information, knowledge, wisdom, and hopefully resolution. There was a deputy chief by the name of Gerlicher. For anybody that wants to say that we're trying to inflame the population and et cetera, or we're, you know, anti-police or whatever it was, Deputy Chief Gerlicher gave testimony at trial. That's the proper way to say it, Don.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that. He gave testimony at trial, and he talked about the corruption that was going on, including a sting operation, a reverse sting operation that was run by some Minneapolis police officers on the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, beat them out about $14,000, $15,000 in an alleged holdup. Get this, Don, you'll like this. An alleged holdup officers in Chicago from Minneapolis who had gone to Chicago to make a purchase of drugs, and allegedly they were stuck up by two Negroes who got away with the money. And what happened was the supervisor here in Minnesota for the DEA was relieved of command and was reposted down there to some small station, the border station in New Mexico. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, the announcement was made that this Pat King, Lieutenant Hennepin County, is going to be the new head of investigations, and he's already saying he can't wait to put some Negroes in jail, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I was just kind of wondering, because come to find out just in the last 24 hours that the Star Tribune falsified information about the testimony. Get this now. Get this, Donald. The testimony of Deputy Chief, Deputy Chief Gerlicher, as he talked in terms of the criminal activity that was going on. This was the same trial, Don, that I briefed you on a couple of years ago, where Lieutenant King of the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department, so he was with the Mass Police Department at the time, called black police officers, he called them scumbags. Said they all should be in jail. He named some of them. He named some of them. And, you know, never took action. But now he's going to be in charge of criminal investigations for the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department. And he said he's going to be putting black police in jail. Yes, he did, Don. Yes, he did. Yes, they're a bad king. Yeah. He's quite a guy. Quite a guy. His daughter, the older daughter now, made a mistake and had a child out of, you know, by African American. He wouldn't let her or the baby set foot in the house. I mean, really, this I know people are like, that's outrageous that you people, but this guy is a high ranking, you know, law enforcement officer that, oh, by the way, he's a friend with those officers who were at the Mohammed Noor shooting, who ultimately called the Australian government and told them, that this Mohammed Nord was a Islamic ISIS terrorist. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I did not.
Oh, yeah. I know you're reading some information. I know they're trying to text you and everything else. But again, hey, the way we're operating here as we move into the new season, 347-426-3904.
That's the number.
347-426-3904. The Ronnie Donnie program coming to you from the Twin Cities. But we've got a lot going. What's your take on the officer death in California, Don? But do you have?
Well, I just think that it's an unfortunate circumstance, and people are talking about a wall, build a wall, do this, do that. But it's very interesting because if you go down to that part of Mexico, New Mexico, that area, you'll see that there is a fence and some concrete wall all along the border that runs clear through, and some of the fence is where people can get into the United States. And I think build a wall probably just means that, we should make sure that people are here legally and this stuff doesn't happen. Because like you said earlier, Mr. Edwards, this guy was already caught trying to get back in, and now he's in again, and he murders this young police officer, 5 hours after the Christmas celebration that he and his family have. And I have a picture posted there.
And
with their little baby with his hat on and looking all cute and beautiful wife in front of their Christmas tree. And then you hear about this, and this was preventable. I think this is preventable by just keeping that element out of the United States. Now,
I understand. I can't. When life has been lost like it was in California, I'm not going to argue with you. Because he was a young man. He had come here from the Fiji Islands. He's a Polynesian. He's of the Polynesian race, if you will, and wanted to be a police officer. He was a canine officer and et cetera. And just loved and endeared in his community. He comes from a small community of about 13,000, 14,000. It's terrible. Then you look at this guy, this predator. I mean, he's wearing a gold chain around his neck. Like he's a player. We're going to talk a little bit of the ghetto urban talk. He looked like he's a big guy, too. Big cat, rugged looking. And it was a traffic stop, The poor officer, was just doing his job, and the guy blew him away, man. But they closed in on him. And like I said, they apprehended him sometime mid yesterday, if you will. But, people are talking in terms of turning the case over to the feds so that they can ask for the death penalty. And I'm like, he took a life, life for a life. I mean, it's kind of like what's happened here with, back to Mohammed Nord. But your point is well made. I'd like to hear some of the thinking of those in our communities who are out front and know everything about law enforcement and justice and things like that. I'd like to hear some Don, about Pat King. Here's a guy that destroyed the Black Police Officers Association.
Yeah, we do have a call, Ms. Harris.
Oh, let's get him on. Let's get him
on. You're live on air.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing? Yes, good morning. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes,
good morning. I recall that there was a black gentleman down in the downtown area of Minneapolis who was, I believe he was stumped to death down there in E Block, and that gentleman also was a gang member, and he was in the country illegal. Nobody never talks about that. What was the outcome of that situation in Minneapolis? A Hispanic gang member from out of the country beat and stumped an African-American in the downtown area with all those cameras and never had been brought to trial.
Well, you're talking about the killing of an African-American in front of the old game works. Is that what you're talking about, sir?
Exactly.
And obviously you're calling from at least here somewhere in Minnesota. Is that what you're talking about, sir?
Exactly.
Well, let me just correct you, sir. Let me just correct you a little bit. Your information is not totally correct, and I'll clear it up for you, but you're correct. Number one, a young African-American was beaten to death. Those weren't gang members in the sense of gang members. They were Mexican federal police who had flown up here bringing drugs in.
Are you kidding me?
All drug traffickers. And something happened that particular night. I will remember the investigation and et cetera. They were put on a plane, kind of like the big Chinese billionaire that all charges had been dropped. Boy, he spread a little piece of money around, and he bought all kinds of justice here in Hennepin County. But in the case of the African-American that was stomped to death, beat to death, right there in the middle of downtown, you know what I mean? You are correct about the circumstances of his death, and such, but you are not correct, and I just want to, you know, correct you for the record, that those were Mexican federal police.
Oh, my
like
God.
Like the equivalency of like, you know, our FBI, DEA, ATF, you know what I'm saying to you? And they were not even put in jail. They were sent to a holding facility, and then by the next morning, they were on a flight out of here back to Mexico City. And hopefully that clears it up for you. Those were law enforcement officers from Mexico who were bringing drugs into the United States. I mean, it's all a, you know, because I hate to say it like this, but it's all a control situation.
So then that means it is really true that Minneapolis, Minnesota, is really a sanctuary city for criminals and convicts and ex-thieves, robbers, drug dealers, murderers. So that really is going on in that Shangri-La, huh?
Yes, it is, sir, and I can tell that you've been listening for a number of years when you talk about Shangri-La. I would have assumed that this would be something that would be on people's minds when they had the fireside chat the other night. Mr. Allen is still researching over in Studio A to see if anybody posted anything about the fireside chat with the incoming Attorney General for the state of Minnesota. You know, I would assume that would be something that you want to look at, particularly in light of the statements being attributed to Lieutenant Pat King, the new head of criminal investigations for the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department, who has laughed and told some of his comrades and associates that he's going to put his foot in black law enforcement behind here in the Twin Cities, in Minneapolis, in Hennepin County, if you will. So, yes, we are a sanctuary city, sir. You know, you really went kind of back in history. Obviously, you were analyzing and reading some of the information. Yes. That African American beat to death in downtown Minneapolis a couple years ago was killed by Mexican federal police. And for people that, you know, want to challenge the Don and Ron program, all you got to do is go back, get on your little computer, get your little mouse out, and to text in. In fact, we'll help you like this. Text in GameWorks, 7th and Hennepin, and information will come up. Yes, sir. But sir, I thank you that you were one of those people that was paying attention once again to the lost life of an African American. We really, I mean, baby, really don't talk about that here in the Twin Cities. And like I said, I wasn't joking when I talked in terms of all charges being dismissed against the billionaire Chinese businessman who was accused allegedly of rape. Man, that was taken care of so smoothly and so swiftly. Envelopes moved around, if you know what I mean. Kind of reminded me of the late Bernie Mac talking in terms of furniture moving around. You know what I mean? And they got that taken care of. They tell me that the Chinese billionaire spent probably about $400,000. And everybody, in fact, everybody had a nice Christmas, if you know what I mean. Everybody's white.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
oh,
white.
Yeah. He made sure everybody had a nice Christmas. So,
yes, sir.
I had a problem with that. You know, during the Super Bowl, and up during the time of the Super Bowl, they were talking about how they got all these sexting operations in place, and they're cleaning house, and they're going to make sure there's no sexting operations going on. Nobody's going to be doing anything in the hotels, the motels. Everybody's been trained with keen eye and just keep their eyes on the ball and watch out for these predators. But this situation here happens with the gentleman from out of the country, and he gets a No, look past. Go back to, is this a sanctuary city, especially if you have money and can pay your way to get that no
well,
look
sir,
past?
Well, sir, I think what you just said answers your own question, sir. Or wherever you're calling us from, is that you've answered your own question. Is that, you know, there is activity here. I will remember that period of time when the special VOTAC unit, oh, man, ain't nobody talked about VOTAC. They don't talk about that no more. When they made off with all kinds of money. In fact, there was a lawsuit, and the authorities had to pay $3 million to some of our people of color, et cetera, whose money and everything had been taken from them on raids on their house. And for those out there that, you know, again, play the game, that Donnie and Ronnie are toxic, the article, the investigative report in the case of the VOTAC unit was written by Paul McEnroe, who is now over at KSTP, and also Randy First of the Minneapolis Star-Tribune wrote that story. But that was the story, sir, and I don't know how much you knew about that, sir. That was the investigative report that led to a African-American police officer being sentenced to federal penitentiary for a year. We'll kind of do like they do. They don't talk about theirs. We won't talk about ours. You know what I'm saying to you, sir? I mean, not being disrespectful to you, because you just raised the question of the death of an African-American. Again, wasn't in any dark alley in North Minneapolis, down by the river. It was right there, you know, right there on 7th and Hennepin. You know, the Mexican cop stomped him to death, beat him to death, if you will. But, hey, that's the way things kind of work here. You know. Anything
I
else,
hope
sir?
Yes, I hope that the next gentleman that comes here from the big federal office in Washington, D.C., like Jeff Session, the next time he comes to this town and visit, boy, he's going to need to bring some buses with him and haul off some of these corrupt individuals and some of these corrupt people and haul them off on a federal investigation. It seems like the state of Minnesota needs to be under some kind of federal investigation. I mean, you got too much corruption going on. You got a mayor that seems to have his hands full. You got these so-called paid leaders that every time you turn around, they got their hands out, but their zip codes say they live in a suburb. And everybody's hollering about leadership North Minneapolis, but their zip codes say they live in a better suburb somewhere else. And when situations go down, they're nowhere to be found.
Well, sir, all I can say is that Mr. Allen and myself have been accused of being toxic, if you will, when we raise these kinds of questions. I'm not sure what kind of questions and information folks want us to raise. You know, we had a program, we had a person calling in and all out of breath, and they were on their way to a meeting, and we had a female who initially said she was attacked verbally and et cetera, et cetera. People say this, but, you know, you don't see anything happen, man. People, it's kind of like the black dog whistle. Ooh, we never talk about that, do we, Mr. Allen? The black dog
whistle. No, we don't.
And the dog whistle, you know, you hear it, and, you know, folks go wink, wink, and maintain, go talk about something else. So I don't know, sir. But you raised a couple of good questions. You have gone back in history and time to memorialize another young African-American who received no justice, if you will, beaten to death on the downtown streets of Minneapolis by Mexican federal police who were acting as couriers for the drug cartel. I don't know what to say, but appreciate your call. Appreciate your questions, sir. All right?
Thank you very much.
And have a nice new year.
Hey, Mr. Edwards, it's funny that that caller should bring that up, because Randy First from the Star Tribune has a nice hit piece in this morning's paper. Lawyer says you ignored sexually hostile environment, but the caller talked about two things I'd like to touch on real quick. Is the
go right ahead.
The environment, the sexual environment created, or sexually hostile environment created by events like the Super Bowl. And these different events where this Chinese billionaire comes here, you know, they come here and the city puts out this information that we don't want to have, you know, this going on or that going on during Super Bowl in our great city. And then you look at the problem, you look at the whole situation, and you know that someone is controlling that. So who paid who for the favors for the city to put that out so it could be regulated one way, through the strip clubs, through the nightlife, through the different, you know, atmosphere, restaurants, et cetera, and private contractors, you know, because people come here. A billionaire goes to a town, he pretty much gets whatever he wants, period. You know,
and Minneapolis
is upholding that environment, that hostile environment. I mean, they take all the homeless people off the streets, send them up somewhere where there's no bus service in the town during the Super Bowl and other major events that are coming up or that have happened here at the U.S. Bank Stadium. But yet, you know, you have these folks running around. You have these parties that, you know, you hear about on the lower tier, these sex parties and things like this that are hosted by, you know, some of the people we know in the community. You know, so
absolutely.
I mean, what do you do?
And we, you know, we try to stay away from that because we don't want to be accused of being toxic. Little girls as young as 14, 15 years old, dressed up and, you know, with the high heels, the makeup, and et cetera, and they are actually auctioned off at these parties. We're going to get ready to do the same thing here in a couple of months. We've got the Final Four now. My associate, Mr. Allen, is not much of a sports guy. But we've got the Final Four coming in. That's the NCAA coming in. They're looking to take out about 50 million, 90,000 guests coming into our city looking for fun and pleasure. You know what I'm saying? And we're hearing the same story, preparation and planning. And they got more cameras and et cetera, looking at everything. How many actual drug trafficking are African Americans? I take us back to the story that we talked about a couple of months ago, where they ran a sting operation. Actually, it was you know, almost this time last year, where, what was it, Don? 45 of the 46 that were arrested along 6th, 7th, and 8th in Hennepin were African-American. African-American.
Oh, yeah.
And all those
judges exactly
in the
sense
pretended that they didn't know that. By the way, let me just say this before we go. This will be a good investigative undertaking for the new incoming attorney general, right? Because, and I'll give you the specific narrative. The incoming attorney general needs to work with the Minnesota Supreme Court, who has supervisory authority over judges. They need to find out what was the actual involvement of the county attorney, who filed no charges, if you will. This is the same county attorney that is charging Mohammed Nord in increments, Don. Increments, almost unheard of. He's dropped a new charge on him every year. But, you know, the incoming attorney general should, working with the Minnesota State Supreme Court, should examine what happened in the case of the Chinese billionaire, if you will, how much money exchanged hands, and should move for the impeachment. Of whoever the judicial individuals, judges, clerks, whoever, and county attorney, that they should be removed from office. Now, don't you think that's fair?
I think that's fair. That's absolutely fair. Because something happened here. Something went on. And Minnesota wants to be the first to do everything, and they had a Chinese billionaire sitting in their pockets. Or he in their pockets now, or whatever. But yeah, some people have nice things, Mr. Everett. No, we have no callers, and our direct call-in line is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And the phone lines are wide open. And we appreciate you guys listening in queue. We have a bunch of people listening in the queue. If you want to talk to us, just hit the number 1, I think it is, and it will take you right to the studio board, switchboard, and we will pick you up and answer your questions or
listen to
your comments.
Yeah, for those that are just joining us, that we have a policy here is that we do not take these background calls, if you will. If you want to speak to the subject matter under discussion, if you will, you have to, go to the phone, let the world hear you. Let the world hear your questions and et cetera. I'm really surprised with regards to back to the Mohammed Nord situation. which was on the news this morning, as well as the situation with Pat King, if you will, who played a major role, And you know, and just for all of these folks, Black Talker terms, that we're toxic, yours truly was in that courtroom for 4 days doing that trial, that case, where he and his associate, who, by the way, his associate, Andy Smith, is now the chief of police in a small town somewhere out west in Good Red Country, if you know what I mean. But I sat in that courtroom, and I heard Pat, you know, if you're listening in there, or, you know, if you and your buddies, I heard you when you named the black officers and you called them scumbags, you know, and you said all of them should be in the penitentiary. He named about five by name, some currently still with the department, including the chief of the department, if you will. The chief, the man is now the chief of the department. I mean, we called him scumbag and indicated they should all be in jail. And I thought that when we, you know, this story broke a couple weeks ago, I just thought we'd be hearing from people. You know what I'm saying, Don? Talking about how outraged they were and that they were going to deal with the new sheriff coming in and tell him that this person should not be in a position of responsibility. Because when you talked about the situation with John DeMonaco, as an example, who I think is a great man, very good guy, and et cetera, but folks didn't like him for whatever reason, and, you know, they went viral. Remember that? And they told the chief, Janae Harto, at that time, the chief, and the then mayor, Betsy Hodges, we didn't want this guy out here. Then the name of Commander Charles Adams comes up. Now, Charles Adams, African-American, born, raised in North Minneapolis, grew up in the tough projects. You know how these folks like to always talk about how tough they are, and that they came here from Chicago, Detroit, Kansas City, Omaha, et cetera, and they're out of the projects and how tough they are. And yet Adams has been declared persona non grata, and that he will not even be considered to take command of the four precincts. So I'm trying to – you need to help me, Don, get a balanced thinking about what is it that drives these people?
Yeah, I don't know. And what question I have, Mr. Edwards, and a comment is, what is the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights doing under Velma Corbell?
That's right, Minneapolis Civil Rights Department. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Velma Corbell.
I'm wondering what they're doing. And I gotta say this. And I posted this on social media yesterday. If you were one of the bougie black folks that wrote a letter of recommendation for the reappointment of Velma Corbell under this new mayor, you are the enemy of black Minnesotans, period.
All right.
If you one of you guys that wrote a lot of these bourgeoisie folks, Mr. Edwards, wrote letters of recommendation. And I was telling one guy yesterday that under Betsy Hodges, you remember that, Mr. Edwards? You and I were down there. Under Betsy Hodges, there was public testimony for the reappointment of Velma Corbell. And you spoke, a couple guys spoke, you spoke, then I spoke, and I just basically said, I'm supporting her reappointment because she's the only one that can fix the mess that she made. No one else, it's too messy for anybody to even go in there and deal with it.
Velma Corbell, our listening audience needs to know we've got about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 minutes. Mr. Allen and myself, here it is again. I hate to say it, and it's not the same one that this caller earlier said. We had a young African-American, see, if folks get amnesia quick. We had a young African-American beaten to death, tasered to death, beaten to death, I mean, but both. Do you remember that at the YWCA building in downtown?
Cornelius Smith. Yes.
Oh,
Cornelius
my
Smith.
God. Donald Allen did it again, gave his name. Family lives in, is it Fort Wayne, Indiana? Cornelius Smith. God bless him. Gone from this. Oh, the city did settle a couple of years later for, I think, what, $2 or $3 million. Cornelius Smith. Now, Mr. Allen and I, it's in the record. You can call us toxic if you want. Mr. Allen and I, as two people that did not know Mr. Smith, the deceased, or et cetera, but as activists and in the pursuit of justice, went down. And because the police conduct board is under the supervision of the head of the Civil Rights Department, We asked for an investigation. Tell the public what they did to it, Don.
Oh, well, you know what? It was like they blocked it because the president of the YMCA down there, the executive director, would not meet with us. But there's a great story in a Spokesman Recorder by Mr. Ronald A. Edwards, June 5th, 2013. Justice for David Cornelius Smith.
Oh,
In spite of obstruction from justice, the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights. And you go into detail. I didn't even know you put my name in the story because, I made the call. I went down there and filmed. And it's really funny, Mr. Edwards, because they tased and strangled this boy to death in the sixth floor of the YMCA in the gym there. And he was a member. He was a member. He was just playing basketball. A little white girl said you had to move or do something to another hoop. And I don't know what he said or what happened afterwards because they were very vague with it. But the next thing you know, the Minneapolis police are there beating him and tasing him to death.
And killed him. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And no one wants to go back and talk about that.
We had another young African-American who was a former disc jockey. Now, you know, we know how much people love their KMOJ. Was a former disc jockey at KMOJ, was beaten to death in the streets and shot right there at Sheridan and 12. Sheridan and 12, if you will. His mother, for those that all pretend they don't know what we're talking about, his mother, I think she still is, though she may have retired. His mother was the school nurse at a Minneapolis grade school in North Minneapolis, and she... It broke her heart. She fought a hell of a battle. She obtained legal counsel and et cetera. And the black lawyers and they took the case. They took the money and ran. He was killed right after Mr. Cornelius Smith, if you will, was beaten to death. But respond to the Don and Ron program by making it appear none of this happened. I appreciate again. There you go. You went into the archives, Mr. Allen, to my surprise. And, yes, that was the same gentleman that is on the radio with you right now who wrote that article, just like I wrote the article in 2010 on Pat King and his destruction and his statements about black police officers, et cetera. 3 years later, I wrote about the brutal beating and murder of an African-American in the YWCA. Appreciate it, Don. Thank you, because people pretend that they don't know what it is that we do other than run our mouths. Yes, sir. Do you have a call down? Someone want to talk, but they don't want to come on here. Hello, Donnie.
I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards. I was trying to make these people call in because people are trying to text me and call me because I had posted that we were talking about that wrestler who was forced to cut his hair out there in at Thorreger High School, Andrew Johnson. And I was looking at this, and there's a story, Mr. Edwards, that deeply disturbs me that was posted this morning. It says, high school to skip event officiated by referee who told wrestler to cut his hair. I'm going to say
now,
that referee was
supposed to be had been suspended by the New Jersey High School Athletic Association. I'm surprised and shocked because the national media has carried that story for the last 3 days that he has been told that he was suspended. You're saying that someone is trying to say that he is still involved in officiating wrestling matches there in New Jersey?
Yeah. This is from The Guardian, it says, which is a reputable, credible source. It says, high school to skip events officiated by referee who told wrestler to cut his hair. So does this mean that the referee union out there in New Jersey is more powerful than the school district or common sense? And secondly, where the hell were the parents? I'm looking at a picture of a white girl cutting this boy's dreads out in this picture online.
Yeah.
I see five white men standing around him. Okay. And I'm like, black people? Where are the black parents? You know, where are the people that need to be there? Common sense. If that was my son wrestling and someone talked about cutting his hair before he wrestled, you know, someone told me yesterday, we ain't got no more over my dead body Negroes left. We got these passive, melancholy, soft soap, white bread eating brothers and sisters that don't want to stand up and say nothing. And when you do, you get casted out or alienated or marginalized. But that should have never happened. You don't cut nobody's hair. You know, that's just, if any school administrator, principal, I don't care who you are, superintendent, you all need to resign or they need to get fired, period. That's ridiculous. That's racism in major.
In volumes, brother, in volumes. In fact, it was so egregious that the big white media, because, you know, the New Jersey is right across the river from New York City and all of that, and the white media, the big boys, ABC, CBS, CNN, all, have been dealing with it. In our production meeting yesterday, I pointed out to you and the staff, I said, I have not heard a mumbling word from the NAACP or the Urban League. Do they
not
even exist anymore? I'm not, there used to be a time 30 years ago in this country where black activists and such a man would have been out there. They would have shut everything down. There would have been 600 to 700 demonstrators out there. The governor of the state of New Jersey would have spoke to the circumstances and the situation, et cetera. Now you're right, Donald. There are no longer any more drop dead, you know, black activists, man. They just ain't happening. These folks are doing whatever they want to do. Yeah, whatever they want to do to us. It's the Donald Trump. I hate to say it to you, Don, but it's the Donald Trump syndrome. You know. Treat them like the slaves.
To be fair, this has been going on long before Donald Trump. Okay.
I confirm, Don. You're actually right. But you always need a catalyst to keep racism going. You know, back in my day, it was people like George Wallace and Bill Boat and folks like that. You got young African Americans out there, they don't even know who these white bigots were. You know, I can still see George Wallace standing in the doorway at the University of Alabama and told those two young Negroes, you shall not pass, you know. Called federal troops out. I mean, no, you're right. I mean, and even further back than that, you know, we've seen Negroes beaten at the lunch counter just trying to have a glass of milk or a cup of tea. I mean, I've lived through it, my brother. I've lived through it. I've seen it, man. I've seen it. We used to be fighters in this town. This town used to stand up, and black folks would get out there and do some things. But, you know, hey, that's all changed. You know, folks say, you know, we need to party down at Sevens or the Continental Hotel or whatever places they are, drink that sparkling water. In fact, they'll be so drunk Tuesday night, they probably – have to get them an Uber if they can find somewhere to drive. How much time we got left, Don? I think we're in the whole stretch.
We got 1 minute 30 seconds. 1 minute 30 seconds.
Man, let's play James Brown to the extent of the beautiful words that he delivered, because it is year end. Now we need to say, hey, Happy New Year! Happy New Year to all y'all.
Yeah, Happy
there.
New Year! Happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Saturday.
Next year.
We'll be back next year. Yes. Y'all have a nice holiday and nice New Year's.
Holiday.
Okay, here we go.
That's right. Take care, James Brown.
In 2, 3, 4 seconds.
Get our shit.